Say Radio News.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. If you're in the market to buy a home right now, you know how challenging it is out there. You're competing against cash buyers, so it's critical that you work with a reputable, established mortgage company like Quicken Loans. By getting pre-approved with us, sellers will know that you're serious and ready to close when you make that offer. Here's one more way to get the home you want. You could buy a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the fourth year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And picking up right where we left off, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group. Bucket Strategy Investing, which means we're going to talk buckets. And I had tried last hour, we had some phone calls and some other topics to get to. But we're going to continue that discussion of bucket number one. We do get questions on this a lot. When we get buckets questions, a lot of it these days has to do, strangely enough, with bucket number one. We're going to talk a little bit more about this coming up, some strategies you might consider. Where should the assets in bucket number one go? Do you own them personally? Do you put them in an IRA? What about bucketizing the buckets? That's going to come in handy because the original answer, which I still stick with, and Professor Plum will too, to the question of, do you really need to have 7 years of cash, money market, sitting in the backyard? No, of course not. But there are ways to at least get something out of bucket number one. So we'll talk about that coming up. Bucketizing the bucket, et cetera, et cetera. Great discussions. And more, whatever happens to be on your mind. We've had some great phone calls today, and this led to some other stuff that we hadn't planned on talking about, but that's perfectly fine. 877-PLANNER, our number. We got lines open for you, 877-PLANNER. Emails, get to a few more of those. Go to our website, wealthed.com. And I should have mentioned, I didn't last hour. I'm just getting into the habit of doing this.
Facebook Live?
Well, besides Facebook Live, which is everybody should be watching that. Or go to wealthed.com to watch our mugs on television. No, the Social Security webinar. We got a webinar, and it's posted. And I don't think I mentioned it other than briefly at the start of last hour. So here it is. Remind you folks again, if you want to watch the webinar featuring Professor Rick Plum, our own Professor Plum, and Ray Lucia Jr. talking for just, it's like 15 minutes, but it's the nine steps, vital... I need cue cards. I'm either getting too old. Just go there. Thank you. The nine vital steps to navigating Social Security. Nine vital steps to navigating Social Security. Well, we did come up with more than nine, but we managed to condense them into nine. There are more things you need to know about. But the important thing is that you watch this, and it's all free. Go to wealthed.com. You'll see the link there, wealthed.com. Just put in your information to log in, and that's it. That's it. You can watch it on demand, which is important in these busy times. Wealthed.com, the nine vital steps to navigating your Social Security, and you'll learn a lot from it. So, remind you about more about that later. But, of course, you can also reach the Brain Trust, including Professor Plum, off the air, and doesn't have to be on Social Security. You can talk to him about your entire plan, your entire retirement plan. You do that by getting in touch with them at the off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Allows you to speak with an advisor like Professor Plum or the professor himself when he's off the air. Talk to them about your financial future, about making sure your distribution strategy is the one that works for you. Bucket strategy. Learn about it, 800-644-1150. They'll talk to you, answer all your questions, and get you your strategy going. And strategy, of course, is what it's all about here, Professor Plum. We were talking last hour just briefly about the idea of bucket number one in a standard three-bucket scenario. You got your bucket three, which is your longer-term bucket. your more volatile assets, your equities.
The things you have time to go through the ups and downs of the market.
Things that need time, that require time. 15 years, at least, down the road. So that's what bucket three is for. You have a bucket two, which sort of bridges the gap between bucket number one and bucket number two, which gives you some of your moderate, medium term, I don't know what you would call it, between years...
Moderate's good.
8 and 15. You can take a little bit more risk in bucket number two, but you don't want to take so much as that you're going to lose money. And that's the whole point.
Right. So you can accept a little bit of volatility because you don't need it for 7, 8, 10 years. You can accept a little bit of illiquidity because you don't need the money for 7, 8, 10 years. But with that kind of characterization, why wouldn't I just use all stocks? Well, because there have been 7, 8, 10-year periods of time where stocks did not produce positive returns. And Murphy's Law says you will find the next one. So it's just a matter of identifying an appropriate time horizon. Buckets is time segmentation. Short-term money, short-term assets. Long-term money, long-term assets. Intermediate-term money, intermediate-term assets.
Right, which gets us to bucket number one that I alluded to a moment ago. And we're going to take some calls, but we will get into this idea. Bucket number one is the safe bucket. We'll call it that, just for lack of a better term. Your safe liquid money is supposed to go into bucket number one. And, of course, what is it paying these days? How much do you get for lending money on a short-term liquid basis? Just about nothing. Well, I mean, you got to keep up at least with inflation.
What's inflation?
Well, what is it?
It's different for everybody.
It sure is. And if you're retired, it might be higher in certain areas than it is if you're not retired.
And your health plays a lot to do with the inflation in retirement.
It sure does. And because if you're going to start spending money on health and...
That's one of the few expenses that retirees over their retirement lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few expenses that go up. Most other expenses over time, now I'm not talking about from 65 to 70, but from 70 to 80, 85, 90, most every other expense tends to go down. In sheer dollar amounts, not even just... inflation adjusted.
Sure, exactly. So it's stuff that you have to watch out for. All right, but 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We'll get to that bucket one discussion. And a scenario that was also brought up, that Professor Plum brought to my attention, of somebody who was, I think, 25 years old and wondered if saving for retirement was really all that necessary, given the way he had set up his...
I saw an article on that.
Yeah. I think it was in Market Watch. I'd seen this just the headline, but I finally read the article. Interesting. People are thinking about retirement. That's a good thing. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Back to the phone lines. Jim, no, I'm sorry. We'll go to Ian first in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Ian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, man. I have a quick tax question. I bought an investment property in 2006. I did a 1031 exchange of $100K into that property in 2006 when I purchased it.
Okay.
I subsequently got divorced, basically. I ended up with the house as my primary residence in 2009, and I've lived in it ever since then as my primary residence. And now I'm thinking about selling it, and I'm wondering, am I responsible now to pay the 1031 exemption that I received in 06?
Well, all the 1031 exchange does is it moves the basis from property A, the one you sold in 2006, into the new property. So you deferred the gain. So what did you pay for the original property that you sold back in 2006?
To do the exchange?
Yeah.
I paid $150 for it. I sold it for $250, and I took $100K and stuck it into the property I bought.
Okay, now how much did the new property cost?
$350.
Okay, so you took out, you took all the equity from the first one and put it over, and you got a bigger loan on the second one. So what's happening is so you moved $100,000 of gain over to the new property. So you start. It's as if you paid $250 from a basis standpoint, from a tax standpoint. It's as if you paid $250 because there was $100,000 of taxable gain that went from property A into property B. So you started off property B with $100,000 of gain in the property.
Right.
So now what's property worth?
I'm going to put it on the market for $450.
Okay, so you're... You paid... What did you pay for the first one? $150 for the first one?
Right.
So your basis... And then you put that over plus another 100. You had to come up with another 100,000 of debt to buy the second one. So it sounds like your basis was 250 on the second property. You're selling it for 450, 200,000. You've lived in it for at least 2 years as your primary residence. You've owned it for at least 2 years. So you have the $250,000 capital gain exclusion. Now, the only thing that's going to trip you out just slightly is when in 2009 did you move into it as your primary residence?
You'll love this. I moved in March.
Okay, so they're going to look at 2 months out of the entire ownership period as being not available for the exclusion. Yeah. So the majority, minor. Now, any depreciation you took in 2006, 7, 8, when you were renting it, that's going to be recaptured. There's nothing you can do about that. But as far as the gain goes, almost all of the gain is going to be eligible for the exclusion. And since you only have $200,000 of gain, you know, a very, very small part, $10,000, $15,000, may be taxable.
Okay, and that will be taxed at capital gains rates?
Long-term capital gain. They're going to look at the number of months after 2008.
Which was two.
That you did not live in it as your primary residence, divided by the number of months that you owned it. So that's like
135, basically. At this
so point. Like 2% of the gain.
Or less.
You know, like $3,000, $4,000 of the gain will be taxable.
Subject to capital gains taxes, right.
Not a big issue.
You'll walk out of this with mostly. It's a pretty good. Boy, you had to pay some attention there, Ian, to what you were doing. Good stuff, though. So I think that's some good news. I tell you what, I got to take a break. If you have any other questions or need some further clarification, please hang on. We'll be happy to talk to you on the other side of the break. Just got to pay a few bills and come back and talk with you if you have anything else. 877-PLANNER. We'll also explain what we're talking about here with Ian. 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Back with more Bucket Investing.
Baby boomers are facing some critical retirement planning decisions that involve their Social Security benefits. So many variables can impact a sound Social Security strategy. Your work history, your spousal benefits, and of course, the age at which you take benefits, among others. If you have questions about your options for Social Security, take 15 minutes to watch a free online video available now. 9 Vital Steps to Navigating Your Social Security. This free informative program is hosted by Lucia Capital Group Chairman Ray Lucia Jr.
What you're about to see is what I believe to be some of the most important information you need to know about Social Security.
Joining Ray for this free presentation, Lucia Capital Group Chief Financial Planning Officer, Rick Plum.
For example, if your full retirement age is 66, then you will receive a 25% reduction in your benefit if you claim at age 62.
9 Vital Steps to Navigating Your Social Security is a free online video available now on demand at wealthed.com, as in wealth education, wealthed.com. If you're facing Social Security decisions, don't miss this free program. Online, on demand, at wealthed.com.
Let's talk about longevity and taking that into account.
Get insights about issues that affect millions of individuals and couples trying to make informed Social Security decisions.
The timing of the benefits can create a couple of planning opportunities that may help you manage the benefits you receive over both your lifetimes.
Watch 9 Vital Steps to Navigating Your Social Security. Then schedule an appointment with a Lucia Capital Group advisor to learn how to integrate Social Security benefits, which can be calculated as part of your retirement planning strategy. Go to wealthed.com, as in wealth education, wealthed.com. Social Security rules can be complex. For more information on Social Security benefits, go to ssa.gov or call 800-772-1213. Lucia Capital Group and its affiliates are not endorsed by or affiliated with the Social Security Administration. Ray Lucia Jr. and Rick Plum offer advisory services through Lucia Capital Group, an investment advisor. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, an affiliated broker-dealer, member SIPC. Ray Lucia Jr. and Rick Plum representatives.
After a rough day on the range, a fella can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink!
And I'll tell you one thing, I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink!
With free next-day delivery from Staples, You can run your business like a pro. You can guarantee the marketing department that they'll get their supplies tomorrow, and guarantee the accounting department that they'll be delivered free. With free next day delivery, you'll have the ability to move deadlines up and adjust budgets down. Go to Staples.com and get the office essentials you need delivered next day for free. Staples. It's pro time. Orders over $49.99 placed by 5 p.m. Excludes weekends and holidays. Eligible items only.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Some fun here in the during the break doing some math. There was a lot. We were talking to Ian in Portland, Oregon before the break. If you heard it, if not, just he had an interesting situation. He actually did the 1031 exchange just right. Followed the rules. Wound up moving into it after.
That's what he did right.
Yeah. Well, that's because you couldn't do it immediately.
No.
But he did it. And so, anyway, I don't want to. I can't do the whole call again. But the point is, for Ian in Portland, Oregon, we were taking some guesses as to when he bought the original property. But you figure, Professor Plum, on $200,000 dollars of gain that he ultimately realized a profit, he's going to pay
maybe $500 to $700 in taxes.
I'll take that combined. I'll take
between. You know,
federal and state.
The crappy state tax he has.
Mm-hmm.
He has a pretty high state tax.
Oregon is where he lives. So, anyway, that's not bad. But we've been having some fun because we just numbers are what we do on this program.
And dates. And the dates in this particular issue matter. The fact that he lived in it as his primary residence almost the entire time after 2008 limited the proration of gain that we see a lot nowadays. When we had an investment property that we moved into, they take the time after 2008 that it wasn't your primary residence, and they use it against you for tax purposes. That portion of the time divided by the overall ownership period of time, that percentage of the gain will not be able to be eligible for exclusion because it's now your primary residence.
Well, so in his case, he moved in March of 2009, which means just a couple months after 2008 ended. It was pretty good strategy, pretty good planning on Ian's part. And, of course, on a 1031 exchange, we're going all the way back to the very first property that was involved. We don't know when he bought the first one, but anyway. Okay, so if you missed it.
But we know that it was 11-plus years just on this property.
Well, that's it. That's it. And did the right thing. So sometimes it works. Sometime we will go back and then talk about 1031 exchanges. For whatever reason, Professor Plum, we haven't talked about them because, for whatever reason, we haven't heard a lot about 1031 exchanges. I don't know why. There was a time.
Well, a lot of people have seen quite a bit of gain, especially if they bought in 2010, 11, 12.
Yeah,
they've seen quite a bit of gain in their rental properties they were buying rental properties.
Yeah, which I think is interesting because if you think back when we were doing the show back in the late 90s and real estate prices were going up, and even in the early 2000s, people were doing 1031 exchanges and flipping this and doing that, and we heard a lot about them. For whatever reason, we just haven't heard much about them.
Yeah, we haven't had that many questions. I guess everybody knows everything about them.
They're not that easy. If you think you know everything about them, but you don't, you could get messed up, really. You really could get messed up from a tax standpoint. But what it involves is exchanging one investment property for another investment property.
And deferring the potential gain from the sale of the first property, deferring that gain into the next property or properties.
Yes, because often what happens is if you have an investment property with, say, a lot of, we'll call it a rental house. I don't know. Just call it a rental home or make it easy.
Well, even in Ian's case, he bought a place for $150,000, sold it for $250,000. Mm-hmm. If he had to pay taxes on it at that moment, he would have paid taxes on $100,000.
Because it was a rental.
15%. He probably would have paid $20,000, $25,000 in taxes. Therefore, he wouldn't have had that money to buy the next place.
So what he did was instead he rolled the gain of that old property, the first property, into the new property, which is what a 1031 exchange allows you to do. He followed the rules by having equal or greater than value. He did. On the new property, equal to or greater than debt. He did.
And he didn't touch any of the money. It went straight from property A to property B.
That's what you have to do.
And he did it within the time frames specified.
Yeah, so if you follow the rules, and it worked in his favor. This is remarkable.
And then he heard about the rule that they were changing in 2008 and immediately moved into his house, his former rental, in 2009 so that he could avoid that proration of gain.
Which he could do because he had done the 1031 back in 2006. They don't necessarily like you moving into a rental property immediately after you do a 1031 exchange.
No, not unless you can point to something that was not known ahead of time.
No, now in his case, there was a divorce, so...
But it was 3 years later.
Yeah, it didn't matter, but anyway, all right, that's enough of that. We just had a lot of fun during the break doing these numbers and seeing how much in taxes you would actually pay on a $200,000 gain, and it was roughly $500 to $700.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Not bad.
He's going to pay more than that in selling expenses.
Not bad at all. Okay, I don't have time to get to the Bucket One stuff. We'll do that in just a little bit. Want to get to an email here. Let's see. Dwayne in Kent, Washington. I have one brother and one sister. In 2012, my mother passed away, leaving us the family farm valued between $300,000 and $400,000. Sometime in the mid-90s, before my dad passed, he put the farm in our names.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I just watched one of your videos, and Professor Plum said unless it's over $5 million, it makes no difference. It's a non-taxable event.
Well that's two different sets of tax issues, too.
That's from the estate tax standpoint. My first question is, does that apply to this situation? It looks like it does.
No. Well,
the answer is no.
The answer to that is no. That's going to be an issue coming down the line.
This is an estate tax, what we were talking about. My second question, says Dwayne, is if we were to sell the farm, how do we figure the cost basis, and what, if any, taxes would we pay? If you can answer these questions and any additional information you could give, it would be much appreciated. I just talked to an attorney about a will. The farm, of course, was brought up, and what I understood him to say is because my dad put the farm in one of our names, it could be considered a gift, not an inheritance. Yeah, and we would not get a step-up cost basis. I guess I need to know if any of this applies and in what way. So they were handed, the dad put the farm in their name many years ago.
Many, many years ago. Let's talk about step-up and basis first. What is step-up and basis? What is basis? Last week we talked about basis. Basis is the starting point for determining gain or loss upon the disposition of a property or an asset. You're looking to sell this asset. So what is your basis? Basis steps up or changes when the owner of the asset dies. When the owner of the asset dies, the basis of an investment or a capital asset receives a new basis. I mean, the basis is changed to the value on the date of death. So when mom died, did you receive a step up in basis on this property? You said the very first sentence that you inherited the house from mom. In the next sentence, you said that before dad died back in the 90s, he changed the title of the property from dad to one of the kids. If he changed the title from dad to one of the kids owned it, not mom. So when mom died, this property was not in her name. She did not own this property. She hadn't owned it for the last, couple decades. There's no step up in basis because it was not owned by mom when she passed away. And unfortunately, it wasn't owned by dad when he passed away either. It was purchased by dad who knows when, and his basis is now the basis of the person that owns it, the child that owns it. It said one of the kids. Now, mom may have lived in it for the past 10, 15, 20 years and paid all the rent, the property taxes, paid all the utilities. It may, in every intent and purpose, have been mom's house for everything that went on, except for one. Who was on the deed?
The title.
Who was the owner? Who was on title? If it was one of the kids, it was their house. They actually should have been the one taking the deductions. But unfortunately, from what you're saying, that the house was not in mom's name when she passed. Your attorney sounds like they're on the ball. There is no step-up in basis.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I would guess that maybe it's been in the farm, the family for quite a while.
And it doesn't, because her name wasn't on it for the past 20 years, we can't make an argument that she only put the name on to avoid probate.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
I suppose if whoever owns it passes away and they pass it on to the next person inherited.
Then if you own it when you die, step up in basis.
Yep, that's the way it is.
But resetting of basis.
That's true. You got to die first, though. That's not
it's
good.
Tough.
Okay. 877-PLANNER. We'll talk more. Buckets when we come back.
At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy.
Inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or click Contact Us at LuciaCap.com. That's LuciaCap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
I have to get to sleep.
Tom had a stressful day, and now he can't shut down at bedtime.
Need sleep.
To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Let's go over Dwayne's email and Ken Washington before the break. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We should just clear up very quickly.
He was asking questions about the income. There's a family, potential capital gain.
Right. There's a family farm, and Dad had put it in the kids' names. And Dwayne, I guess Dwayne and his, or maybe his brother and sister, I don't know, all of theirs, names. And the problem was that once Dwayne and the siblings go to sell it, they don't have this nice step up in capital, a step up in basis, which would save them a lot in capital gains taxes. His original question was, I watched one of your videos, and Professor Plum said, unless the value of the farm, which is about $300,000 or $400,000, unless it's over $5.5 million, it makes no difference on the sale. It's a non-taxable event. His question was, does that apply? And we had said no.
Well, there's two things that it may or may not apply to. The $5.49 million exemption is from a federal estate tax situation. That's not an income tax. What you were talking about with the basis and selling the property is an income tax capital gain issue. So the $5.49 million is a moot point from a federal tax standpoint. Also, since Mom didn't own it, it wasn't part of her estate. It wouldn't be a part of any type of state or federal estate tax situation anyway, because she didn't own it. Now, if Mom did own it, or if Mom's assets were greater than a certain net. We were talking about the federal estate limit, but there's also in different states, certain states have state estate or state death tax situations. If your mom lives in Washington, the $5.49 million exemption is not the one she's worried about. It's the state death tax exemption, state estate tax exemption, which is down in the $2.1, $2.2 million range. So if her entire total estate had been more than $2.129 million this year, then the state would hit her estate with an estate tax. Now the farm, because it was not owned by her, would not be part of that. So in essence, you're trading in if her estate was more than that 2.129 threshold. You would be trading in somewhere between a 10 and 20% estate tax at the state level for a capital gain tax on whatever the gain is. That's going to be the hard part, though. If Dad transferred it to one of the kids or all of the kids before he died, way back in the 90s, you got to figure out what Dad's basis was. And that may be hard to do. I mean, who knows? He may have bought it back in the 60s. Who knows?
That's it. And it would be a very difficult thing to figure out. Anyway,
but it's just not part of the estate if she didn't own it.
No, and it goes back again to our discussion of basis, as you said. I think it was last Friday. It's, you know, part of estate tax planning and just regular old tax planning, regardless of estates, in this case, it has to do with understanding how basis works, step up in basis. A step up in basis is clearly, for most taxpayers, I would think, a good thing.
For most. Now, the term step up, it's somewhat of a misnomer.
It's a resetting.
It's an actual resetting. So people that died in 2009, 10, 11, where properties went way down in value, they may have received a step down in basis because people who passed away and then passed on their assets to somebody else, those people that received it got a new basis, the value at the date of death, which may not have helped out. They may have wanted to, you know, keep it at the higher level, but it doesn't work that way. It's a resetting of the basis to the value at the date of death.
Now,
good or bad, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it is unfortunate. But anyway, it's something you need to keep track of, which is why we were talking about it last Friday. Okay, so let's get to this situation here. You can just comment on it. There's an article in Market Watch that talked about, I guess there was a Reddit user. I don't ever go on Reddit. I mean, that's, you know. But there's a Reddit user who had asked everyone why we're advised to save so much for retirement. And is it really the right move? Now, this person has a scenario. He took a new job after welcoming a new baby, analyzed his budget. He's 25 years old. Said, while I understand the importance of saving for retirement, it seems to me that saving 12% of my pre-tax income will generate more than enough savings for our retirement goals. As I said, he's 25, earns 80 grand.
Not bad.
Pretty good for 25.
Very good.
Expects to retire at age 65. That's more realistic. With a 6% estimated return and is contributing $900 a month before the 4% employer match. That would leave him, according to estimates, that he says about $2.5 million or roughly $75,000 a year of income. He wondered if prioritizing retirement was the right decision or overkill. First of all, I'll stay away from the, I think, obvious humble brag that this guy was probably doing, telling us that he's a good saver and making a pretty good salary for age 25.
Well, I think that, you know, we talked about this last week as well. Saving early, saving often, gives you a lot of flexibility in the future. And unfortunately, we don't know what's going to happen. Now, $75,000 in retirement, that sounds like a lot when he's only making $80,000 now. But $75,000, that's 40 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That's $75,000. 40 years from now is more like, probably, I haven't done the math, but like $30,000 now. Does he want to retire on that? Plus, there'll be some Social Security. But that also assumes that he can continue to do exactly what he's doing now. Continue to save 12% of his pay forever. On the negative side, that doesn't always happen. People get hurt. Their jobs change. You know, all kinds of things can mess up future savings plan. And when things happen in the future that change your ability to save, it's nice to have some money working for you going forward. And by saving more than what you think is necessary, it gives you lots of options. Maybe at 55, he's tired of working. And because he's saved all those years, he has that ability. And he can change his goals. Because he wants to, not because he has to.
Yeah.
So I still think saving as much as possible early gives him a better head start on things. Now, on the other side of it, this assumed that he'd have $2.5 million at a 6% rate of return after 40 years. But that also assumes he saves only what he's saving now. And his income doesn't change. 12% of his income
up
plus
or down.
The match, and it doesn't go up ever.
Or
I would
down.
Assume that his income will go up. So I think he's going to be able to do fine. I think whether he continues to save more than that, I'd like to push him to save more than that just because it opens up so many other options and availabilities. But I think that it's a good start. It's a really good start. But I think, like we talked about last week, saving early, saving often, and building up money that continues to work for you, even if you can't continue to work for it by building it more, is a great thing to have happen.
877-PLANNER, back to the phone lines. Mark, Scottsdale, Arizona. We can get started with Mark anyway. Hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. So I got a question for you. My wife's mother died, and her IRA had her father named as a beneficiary, and then the secondary beneficiary was the trust, the family trust. And what Schwab is telling us is that we have to transfer that into an inherited IRA. And our accountant is telling us that if we do that, it gets taxed.
No. It will go to an inherited IRA for the benefit of whoever the beneficiary. Now, I'm assuming all the beneficiaries of the IRA, of the trust, are natural people, and there's not a lot of charitable gifts and other things going on.
No, they're all siblings.
Okay. You can create an inherited IRA with the trust as the trustee of the IRA, basically, for the benefit of the children or the beneficiaries of the trust. It's going to be one account It can't be split between the different individuals, most likely. And they're going to use the oldest siblings, the oldest beneficiaries' life expectancy to calculate the required minimum distribution going forward. But no, it's done. It's just, it's a pain. But it gets done all the time. It's still an IRA.
My question is that the that inherited IRA be distributed to the beneficiaries?
Sure. In fact, it has to start being distributed the year after year of death because there's required minimum distributions.
No, but I guess my question is that so it's about a $500,000 IRA.
Okay.
And so would each one of this, let's say there's four siblings, would they each get $125,000 that they could put in their own inherited IRA?
No. You can't. No. It's going to be one IRA.
It's right.
And it's for the benefit of the, you said there was four beneficiaries?
Yes.
It's for the benefit of the four people. And so it's one account, though. And so the required minimum distribution is going to be based on the $500,000. The required minimum distribution is going to be based on the oldest one's life expectancy. And that money can come out, any amount that above that. If they wanted to dissolve the whole thing, each beneficiary could receive $125,000 and be taxed on $125,000. Or they can take out the required minimum distribution, split it up four ways, and be taxed individually on their quarter of the distribution.
Or any amount in between.
Or whatever they want. But it's basically share and share alike, and it's going to be taxable when it comes out and it passes on. It's either going to be taxable to the trust or it's going to be taxable to the beneficiaries if it gets passed out to them during the same year it's distributed. But it's one account.
Yeah, Mark, I got to take a break. We can talk more about this. If you have some more questions, please hold on. We will cover some more of this in our final segment of the hour. 877-PLANNER. We got trivia and a bunch of other stuff to get to as well. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group coming right back with more.
How has retirement planning changed for a nation of baby boomers? We are a generation that needs to rely on ourselves and take control of our retirement plans. The Employee Benefit Research Institute calculates 28% of all retirees had traditional pensions in 1979. 30 years later, that number dropped to 3%. Just 3% of retirees could rely on pension plans for retirement income. At Lucia Capital Group, we customize retirement strategies for baby boomers, aware of the unique challenges of this generation. You may live 30 years or more in retirement. A Lucia Capital Group bucket strategy is designed to meet the needs boomers have today and the many years you may live in retirement. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or click free portfolio review at wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk. How much time do you spend worrying about money? A recent survey by a major investment firm found that on average, investors spend an hour and 20 minutes each day worrying about money. That adds up to 475 hours a year. And what exactly are we stressing about? Respondents to the survey said their top three concerns are a catastrophic event using up their retirement funds, living longer, and their retirement funds not keeping up with inflation. If your financial fears are causing you to worry hundreds of hours each year, spend 1 hour in a complimentary consultation with a Lucia Capital Group advisor. If you're concerned about outliving your money or the threat of inflation, turn to the experience and guidance of a Lucia Capital Group retirement strategist. Call 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or schedule a consultation by clicking Contact Us at LuciaCap.com. That's LuciaCap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Sure, you're good at what you do, but if you've ever found yourself knee-deep in spreadsheets with more emails than you can count, you could be doing much better. It's time to power up your productivity with the right business software. Let me tell you about Capterra.com. The search for software can be long and painful, and where do you even start? Capterra is an easy-to-use software comparison site with over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Whether you need help with website building, customer service, or project management, Capterra.com is the place to go. They have thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. And using Capterra is absolutely free. You won't spend weeks or months searching the internet because all the information you need is in one place. And you won't waste time and money on software that's not right for your business. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra every month. That's Capterra, CAPTERRA.com. Capterra.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do that again. I dare you.
Come on, baller. Here, on a hit, on a hit, on a hit.
Write these lyrics out with you, man. This is kind of sounding like it. 877 Planner, PLANNER. We'll get some trivia and just a little bit if we have time, and more phone calls and emails. Mark still has a couple of questions, I know, so we're going to bring back Mark in Scottsdale, Arizona. So, Mark, go right ahead. I know you had a couple other issues you want to deal with here on that question you had.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Is there another way to handle it so that the IRA could be distributed directly to each one of the beneficiaries rather than going to the inherited IRA?
Well, so you want each individual beneficiary to have their own individual inherited IRA?
That's correct.
I haven't found a way. You may be able to find some attorneys that can figure out something, but it's going to be real specialized and it's going to be expensive. But I have not found a way because mom and dad or whoever the second one that passed away was named the trust as the beneficiary. The trust is the beneficiary. The beneficiary of the trust are the four individuals, but they are not the beneficiary of the IRA. The trust is the beneficiary of it. Now, normally, I mean, if you could get, you know, if I was named as the beneficiary instead of my, you know, two siblings and I wanted to try to do something, I could disclaim it and maybe some things that way, but the trust, I don't think, has that power to do that. So the reasoning is that you don't want to do the same thing for everybody every year?
Right. They would prefer to have it just split up and everyone have their own inherited IRA so that there wasn't so that someone didn't have to manage the IRA going forward, I guess, for the benefit of the other four people.
Yeah, unfortunately, the trustee is the one in charge of managing it. And to the extent, I mean, now obviously they can accelerate the payout. They can, you know, take out, you know, 20, 40, 50,000 a year if they wanted to over the next couple of years, or individually, take out, you know, 100,000 a year for the next 5 years, and each person gets 25,000 a year, cannot go to an inherited IRA. They pay tax on it, just invest it as they see fit on their own. But that would be the only thing to do, would be to, obviously, taking out more than the required minimum distribution is allowed. And you know, so you could accelerate that distribution, look at the individual's tax brackets, try not to really hurt somebody on taxes, but try to accelerate it, get rid of it, so that you don't have that one person managing the trust forever.
That makes sense. Well, thank you very much. That's the answer that I was looking for.
All right, Mark, if you need some more help with this or advice, hang on. We can talk to you more about it off the air. I mean, a lot of this has already been done.
But is where, when you're looking at beneficiaries of your IRAs and you're thinking,
yes,
I've got five kids. I don't want to name. I'm doing the paperwork. I really don't want to name. I don't have all their Social Security numbers. I don't want to name everybody individually.
I want to get this done. Just put
my trust down.
Right, yeah.
That's fine for now. As long as you're alive and you can change it, to the individual name the trust, unfortunately, it doesn't matter to them anymore. Their kids are going to get the money. It just may not be as efficient as the kids want it.
When you name the trust as beneficiary of the IRA,
you take away some options.
What are the biggest problems that you see? Because a lot of people just tuning in, they missed the early part of the call.
There's a couple of problems. One is that they name it the trust as a primary when the surviving spouse is still alive. Whether it's an AB trust or just a straight I love you trust, that disallows the inherited IRA altogether and disallows her rolling it over to, or him rolling it over to their own IRA. So that's a problem when the surviving spouse is involved, unless it's specific and there's some other high-end estate planning being happen. In this case, it stops the ability to create individual inherited IRAs for beneficiaries, so they can each manage it to their own liking, they can each manage it to their own distribution method, whereas now it has to stay as one pool, managed by one person who's got to manage it for his siblings, and that may cause issues. But the reason to do a trust as a beneficiary isn't simplicity.
Control.
The reason is control. That you do not want somebody within that trust getting access to that money without a trustee over and above making decisions on their behalf. And there are a lot of families where that is a very important issue.
Sure.
Doesn't sound like that was an issue in this case, but I don't know. But control is the reason. It avoids probate either way, and so the trust isn't there to avoid probate. It's there to provide control, and control comes at a cost with flexibility.
Well, it does. So if you have what was it, $500,000? I don't remember what
it was. You said $500,000.
$500,000. So it's being split up among four, I guess.
Yeah. So each would
kids. So what happens is there is a required minimum distribution for this IRA. Which means that whatever it happens to do, each individual is going to have to take one quarter of it.
Right, they end up
and pay it in their tax bracket. Now, as you said, what they could do is liquidate the entire thing. Everybody takes $125,000,
pays tax on it, and they're done. But they cannot roll that $125,000 into an inherited IRA because it's coming from a trust, not from an IRA.
Right, they're not inheriting it from the trust, unfortunately. So the inheritance happened, but it happened at the trust level.
Right, and so you know. There are times where control is the issue. There are times where take a little bit of time to fill out the paperwork and make it easier on the kids.
That's it. Okay. All right. We have time for the trivia today. I'm running out of time here. Oh, actually, no. Before I do, I should mention this again because I've only done it once this whole show. We've got the 9 vital steps to Social Security. This is important stuff. It's on demand, available right now at wealthed.com. It's been a couple of months in the making at least, but it's starring you, Professor Plum, and Ray Lucia Jr. here at Lucia Capital Group. You want to watch this 9 vital steps to navigating your Social Security. We've talked about Social Security many times, the complexities involved. Not everything applies to you, but these 9 vital steps very well could. And so it's important. It's like 15 minutes, not even.
A little under, yes.
Right. And what you're going to find, Professor Plum, is that whoever watches it is going to know every aspect in and out of Social Security. Have I overstated it?
I think you've overstated it.
I think I have overstated it. But the important thing is that you get the knowledge that you need, at least to get started.
Or you may hear something that you weren't quite aware of, and you need further clarification to see if it actually affects you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's really the biggest issue, because you might hear something on Social Security and say, well, gee, I don't know. Is that part of
in time to get that option still?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that was one of the things we had to do, because once the laws changed, year and a half, almost 2 years ago, we had to sort of reconfigure our whole strategy around that. And so if you don't know anything about Social Security or haven't learned about it or paid much attention to it, it's especially important for you to understand it. And so that's why we put this together. The 9 vital steps to navigating your Social Security. It's now available at wealthed.com. It's free for you to watch at your leisure. download it, do whatever it is you you have to do. Go there right now, wealthed.com. Okay, out of time. If you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to emails. We didn't get to all those either, but we'll do them tomorrow. If you need Professor Plum, any Lucia Capital Group advisor, talk to them about your retirement, about your strategy. It's important. 800-644-1150. The off-air number, 800-644-1150. For Professor Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.